the car loses grip on the snow and begins to weave from side to side. He slaps a hand down on his draft and completely loses control of the car. It plows off the road and rolls over several times down a slope. It eventually comes to a stop on its roof. A flashback to Paul sitting in an office, holding the battered leather satchel.
What's that?
An old friend. I was rummaging through a closet and was just sitting there.
It's nice, Paul. It's got character.
When I wrote my first book, I used to carry it around in this while I was looking for a publisher. I was a writer then.
You're still a writer.
I haven't been a writer since I got in the misery business.
Not a bad business. And it would still be growing, too. The first printing for Misery's Child was the most ever. Over a million.
Marcia, please.
Misery Chastain put braces on your daughter's teeth and is putting her through college. Bought you two houses and floor seats to the Knicks. And what thanks does she get? You go and kill her.
I never meant for it to become my life. And if I hadn't gotten rid of her now, I'd have ended up writing her forever.
Now I'm leaving for Colorado to try to finish the new book.
If I can make this work, I might just have something I want on my tombstone.
In the car, a bloody Paul passes out. Someone's working a crowbar into the crack of the door, trying to open it. They manage to prise the door open. The figure thrusts the crowbar into the ground before hauling Paul out. With Paul now clear of the car, the figure starts giving him mouth to mouth. She presses on his chest, and after a few rounds of CPR, manages to revive him. The figure picks up the leather case and stashes it inside their jacket. They pick up the crowbar and then hoist Paul over their shoulders. Steadying themselves with the crowbar, the figure carries Paul away. Later, in a bedroom, Paul comes to.
I'm your number one fan. There is nothing to worry about.
You're gonna be just fine. I'll take good care of you.
I'm your number one fan.
A motherly-looking middle-aged woman looks down at Paul's battered and bruised face.
Where?
We're just outside Silver Creek.
How long?
You've been here 2 days. You're gonna be okay. My name is Annie Wilkes.
My number one fan.
Yes, that's right. I'm also a nurse. Here, take these.
She pushes two tablets into his mouth and helps him sip some water. Sometime later, Annie pulls an IV out of Paul's hand and places a plaster on the wound. She goes over to the other side of the bed and takes two more tablets out of a blister pack.
Here.
What are they?
They're called Novril. They're for your pain.
He takes them and she holds his head up so he can have some water. She dabs a flannel on his forehead.
How come I'm at hospital?
The blizzard was too strong. I couldn't risk trying to get you there. I tried calling, but the phone lines are down.
Could you?
Now, you mustn't tire yourself. You've got to rest. You almost died.
More time passes. Annie feeds Paul more tablets.
Open wide. Your legs just sing grand opera when you move, don't they? It's not gonna hurt forever, Paul. I promise you.
Will I be able to walk?
Of course you will. And your arm will be fine, too. Your shoulder was pretty badly dislocated. It was a little stubborn, but I finally popped it back in. What I'm most proud of is the work I did on those legs. Considering what I had around the house, I don't think there's a doctor who could have done any better. It's not nearly as bad as it looks. You have a compound fracture of the tibia in both legs, and the fibula in the right leg is fractured, too. I could hear the bones moving, so it's best for your legs to remain immobile. And as soon as the roads open, I'll take you to a hospital. In the meantime, you've got a lot of recovering to do, and I consider it an honor that you'll do it in my home.